Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into a topic that, well, it goes far beyond what you might initially think: environmental wellness. This deep dive is really all about understanding how our surroundings, profoundly shape our well-being, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally too. Our source material today comes from some insightful excerpts from Environmental Wellness, Spaces, Habits, and Harmony. And our mission really for you today is to unpack a definition of environmental wellness that moves way past just going green. We want to explore how the spaces we inhabit, both the physical ones and increasingly the digital ones, can genuinely boost your health and hopefully give you some actionable insights you can use right away. Okay, let's unpack this. So when we first hear environmental wellness, I think many of us, our minds immediately jump to clean air, maybe recycling, perhaps having a plant on the desk. And yeah, those are absolutely part of it. The sort of foundational definition talks about how the spaces you inhabit affect your physical and emotional health. But that's really just the starting point, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's much, much broader than just, say, your ecological footprint.
Right.
What's truly fascinating, I think, is how this concept expands. It really encompasses almost every dimension of our daily lives. So beyond the eco-conscious living and sustainable choices you mentioned, which are vital,
mm-hmm.
of course, this deep dive also covers things like home detox.
Home detox, okay.
Yeah, actively removing common toxins, plastics, chemicals from your living space. Things we often don't think about.
Yeah.
We're also talking about optimizing things like sound, light, and air quality in ways that genuinely impact your mood, your focus, your productivity. And then there's the huge, rapidly growing importance of digital space management.
Right, yeah.
Setting tech boundaries.
That feels very relevant right now.
It really is. And finally, it's about intentionally designing restorative spaces within your home, whether that's for better sleep, focused work, or even just fostering creativity. It's a really comprehensive framework that I think many people don't realize extends quite so far.
That is quite a spectrum. So let's start maybe with that eco-conscious living piece. Most of us, we think we're doing okay with our recycling bins. But how does environmental wellness push us to think a bit deeper about sustainable choices? Beyond just, the basic going green, like what's a common misconception maybe or an aspect people often overlook here?
Well, I think a key thing is moving beyond just disposal. It's not just about what you throw away, but what you consume and how you live day to day. A key insight from our sources is that eco-conscious living within this wellness frame really emphasizes understanding the full life cycle of products.
The life cycle.
Yeah. So, for instance, are you aware that producing just 1 pound of beef uses, thousands of gallons of water?
Wow.
Or think about fast fashion, the incredibly high water usage, the chemicals, the massive waste it generates. Environmental wellness encourages us to think about these impacts. It pushes for small, deliberate shifts, choosing reusable items whenever possible, opting for products with minimal packaging, even just being more mindful about reducing food waste at home.
Okay, so smaller, everyday choices.
Exactly. And the surprising part, these aren't just abstractly good for the planet. They often simplify your life, reduce decision fatigue, and that directly contributes to your personal well-being. Less clutter, fewer decisions, more peace.
That makes perfect sense. Those consumer choices definitely ripple outwards. But let's shift to the actual physical space we inhabit, particularly this home detox idea. When I hear that, I think maybe deep cleaning, but you mentioned toxins and chemicals. What are some of these like hidden culprits in our homes? And maybe what's a practical first step someone could take to start a detox without feeling like they have to overhaul everything overnight?
Right. And this is where it gets really impactful, I find, because many of these stressors are literally invisible. So did you know that common household cleaning products, those plug-in air fresheners, even some types of furniture or carpets, can off-gas volatile organic compounds, VOCs?
VOCs, okay. I've heard of those.
Yeah, and the levels can actually be higher indoors than outdoors, which is pretty startling. So one really actionable insight, a simple starting point, is to replace just one or two of your most frequently used chemical cleaners with natural alternatives. A simple mix of baking soda and vinegar. It's amazing how many surfaces that can clean effectively without any harsh fumes.
That's true. My grandmother swore by vinegar.
It works. Or another easy step, consider bringing in a few air purifying plants. Things like snake plants or spider plants. They naturally filter some of these common airborne toxins. It's really about consciously creating a space that breathes with you, not, against you.
VOCs are definitely something many of us overlook. So building on that idea of indoor air quality, how can we actively optimize other elements like sound and light? These seem like background factors, but the source material suggests they profoundly affect us. What's a simple change listeners could make, maybe right now, to enhance their environmental harmony in these areas?
Oh, they're huge. These elements are often subconscious drivers of our mood and energy levels. Let's take light, for example. Consider the concept of light temperature. You know how screens emit that blue light? And bright, cool, white overhead lights?
Yeah, they keep you awake.
Exactly. They suppress melatonin production, keep you alert. Great during the day if you need to focus. But switching to warmer, maybe amber-toned lights in the evening, think lamps instead of overheads that can actually signal your body to relax and prepare for sleep. The simple biohack, really.
Interesting. What about sound?
For sound, it's often about intentional quiet. That might mean using noise-canceling headphones if you need deep focus for work, especially in an open office or noisy home. Or, conversely, if you live in a really noisy city environment, maybe introducing white noise or nature sounds at night can create a more consistent, peaceful auditory landscape to help you sleep better.
Okay, masking the disruptive sounds.
Precisely. And as for air, beyond the detox we discussed, just the simple act of opening windows regularly for cross-ventilation is huge. Even for just 10, 15 minutes a day, weather permitting, it can dramatically improve indoor air circulation, flush out stale air, and reduce that buildup of particulates and VOCs.
That's a great practical tip, the window opening.
Yeah.
And the light temperature idea, that's fascinating. Now let's pivot to something that feels incredibly relevant, maybe overwhelmingly so, in our modern lives. Digital space management and tech boundaries. We're all practically tethered to our devices, aren't we? How does environmental wellness approach our virtual world? And what's maybe one crucial boundary we should seriously consider setting?
Yeah, this is perhaps the most modern frontier of environmental wellness. It's less tangible, obviously, than air quality, but arguably just as impactful on our mental state. Think about it. Our phones buzz or ping, what, on average, something like 80 times a day, constantly pulling our attention, fragmenting our focus.
80 times? Wow.
It's a lot. A core insight here is that digital clutter, messy desktops, overflowing inboxes, constant notifications contribute significantly to mental fatigue and overstimulation. It's very similar, actually, to the effect of physical clutter on our minds. So one really powerful, actionable boundary you can set, like, immediately, is establishing phone-free zones or phone-free times.
Like the dinner table.
Exactly. The dinner table is classic. Or maybe the bedroom, keeping phones out of the bedroom, is huge for sleep hygiene. This isn't about, you know, shunning technology entirely. It's about creating intentional pockets of presence, disconnecting deliberately to allow your mind to actually rest and recharge. You'd be genuinely surprised how much mental clarity can return when you're not constantly being fragmented by those digital demands.
Phone-free zones? I know I need to be better about that. It really does feel like a game changer when you manage it. So building on that idea of intentionality, the concept of designing restorative spaces within our homes for sleep, work, or creativity that really resonates, what are some key principles or maybe small design shifts that can turn an ordinary room or even just a corner into a truly restorative environment, especially if you're on a budget or living in a small space?
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be expensive or involve major renovations. It's really about intentionality. For sleep, the key principles are pretty well known: dark, cool, and quiet. So even if you can't afford fancy blackout curtains, simple things like a comfortable eye mask and maybe some earplugs can make a massive difference in sleep quality.
Simple fixes. Okay.
Yeah. For a workspace, it's about optimizing for focus and, importantly, ergonomic comfort. And again, this isn't just about buying a fancy ergonomic chair, though that can help. It could be as simple as making sure your monitor is at eye level to prevent neck strain, maybe just putting some books underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Or simply keeping your desk surface clear and clutter-free to minimize visual distractions.
Reduces that mental load.
Exactly. And for creativity, maybe designating a specific small corner, even just a particular chair by a window that's used exclusively for that activity, writing, drawing, brainstorming, whatever it is. The underlying principle is what you might call active design, consciously shaping your environment to support a specific desired mental or emotional state, whether that's deep rest, focused concentration, or uninhibited imagination.
So it's much less about just how it looks, the aesthetic, and much more about how it functions for our well-being. And I imagine that includes actively avoiding things that might be bad for us too, beyond just the cleaning chemicals we talked about. What other kinds of environmental stressors should we perhaps be aware of, and how can we mitigate them effectively without feeling, you know, totally overwhelmed by it all?
Absolutely. That environmental toxin awareness piece goes beyond just cleaning sprays. It's about identifying and reducing exposure to other common things.
Mm-hmm.
Think about artificial fragrances, for example. They're pervasive in candles, air fresheners, laundry detergents, even some personal care products. These can be irritants for many people.
Right, the strong perfume smells.
Exactly. Or certain types of plastics, like those containing phthalates, often found in food packaging or personal care items. We're learning more about their potential endocrine disrupting effects. And even older building materials in some homes might contain things like formaldehyde or asbestos, though that's usually a bigger issue needing professional assessment. But the key insight, I think, isn't to become hypervigilant or paranoid about every single thing. That's overwhelming, like you said. It's more about making gradual, safer product choices when you need to replace items. Read labels. Opt for fragrance-free when possible. Choose glass over plastic for food storage. And crucially, double down on ensuring proper ventilation. Opening windows, using exhaust fans in kitchens and bathrooms, these simple acts are powerful. They dramatically reduce the buildup of all sorts of indoor pollutants that can contribute to headaches, fatigue, allergies, even respiratory issues over time. It's really about building a healthier internal ecosystem within the walls of your own home.
That's a really powerful shift in perspective, moving from just, you know, surface cleaning to actively understanding what we're bringing into our homes and what we're breathing. Okay, finally, let's touch on nature connection. This feels fundamental, but for someone maybe living in a dense city, limited access to big green spaces, what are some creative ways, perhaps unexpected ways, they can still foster that connection? How can they really ground their nervous system using nature, even in an urban jungle?
This is so vital, because fundamentally, human beings are hardwired for connection with nature. Our nervous systems respond to it. And the good news is, you don't need to hike in a national park every weekend, though that's great if you can. If you can't easily get to nature, the key is to bring nature to you. Even small doses make a profound difference.
Like more houseplants.
Houseplants are a fantastic start, yes.
Yeah.
Adding a few more green living things to your indoor spaces definitely helps. But it could also be as simple as making a conscious point to sit by a window for 5 minutes during your day and just observe. Notice the sky, the clouds, the leaves on a street tree. Listen for birdsong.
Just paying attention.
Just paying attention. Or consider taking a greenery break during your workday. If possible, step outside for just a few minutes onto a balcony, a doorstep, even a small patch of grass nearby. Feel the sun or the wind on your skin. There's even a growing body of research around things like listening to nature soundscapes, bird song, rain, ocean waves, or watching high-definition nature videos, sometimes called virtual forest bathing. For those truly confined indoors, these can still offer a surprising sense of calm, reduce stress hormones, and provide a degree of grounding.
Virtual forest bathing. Interesting.
Yeah. The core goal is to consciously, intentionally invite nature's restorative power into your daily routine, no matter where you are located. Small, consistent connections add up.
Wow. What a complete and truly practical picture of how our environment really, in all its forms, shapes us. From the cleaning products we choose, to the digital habits we form, even just how we let light into a room or listen to sounds around us, it's all connected.
Exactly. And as we connect this to the bigger picture, environmental wellness, it truly isn't just about what's green outside your window, or even just the air you breathe, important as those are. It's really about intentionally cultivating healthier indoor spaces. Spaces that actively support relaxation, maybe creativity, mental clarity. It's about consciously reducing that constant overstimulation and screen fatigue that comes with our digital lives. It involves cultivating more mindful daily habits choices that align both with sustainability and with our own energy levels and well-being. It means fostering stronger emotional regulation, partly through improved sensory environments, less harsh noise, better light. And it includes deepening that innate connection to the natural world, however we can access it. It all contributes really significantly to our overall sense of well-being. And the key message, I think, is that we have far more empowered choice than we often realize in creating a more harmonious personal environment for ourselves.
And that is such a powerful takeaway, this idea of empowered choice, that we aren't just passive recipients of our surroundings. We can actively shape them for the better. So as you, our listener, go about your week, maybe consider this. Which one aspect of your environment, whether it's physical or digital, feels most out of harmony right now? Perhaps it's a cluttered digital desktop that stresses you out every time you see it. Maybe it's a room in your home that just feels stagnant or draining. Or perhaps it's a lingering chemical smell from a product you use often. What's one small, deliberate change you could make this week just one thing to begin to shift that particular space towards greater wellness for yourself. And maybe reflect on how that seemingly small change might ripple outwards. How might it impact your broader sense of peace, your productivity, or even just your overall vitality day to day? Something to think about.